Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Sandhya Vankamamidi. Did I do that right?
Very good.
Worried about that one. All right, Sandhya, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good, welcome to the show. So before we get started, because we're going to talk about Azure Data Catalog, I want you to take a second to introduce yourself, and then we'll get going.
Thank you very much. Hi, I'm Sandhya Vankamamidi. I'm a Senior Program Manager in the Microsoft Azure Data Catalog team.
Okay.
And I'm super excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. We were excited. We've been waiting for this for a while, so it's a pleasure to have you. So we had, and I just drew a blank on his name. Who was the gentleman I had?
Matthew.
I had Matthew here a couple weeks ago to kind of introduce Azure Data Catalog.
Mm-hmm.
This session is going to build on that by talking about the glossary. So kind of give us a teaser about what the glossary is in Azure Data Catalog.
Absolutely. So the business glossary is the capability that we have introduced very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of a suite of governance-related functionality that we intend to kind of invest in as we're going forward with the Azure Data Catalog service. And the business glossary itself is the capability for your customers, for our customers, to be able to define a taxonomy that works for their business so that you can start having standardized naming conventions across the terms that they're using and not have confusions.
So hopefully I'm not asking, when I think, when we think of glossary, we think, is it similar to when I think of glossary, the glossary on the back of a book that kind of gives a, points to, hey, here's a common definition of terms that you would find throughout a book, right? Is it similar to that?
It's exactly the same.
Woo! All right.
And the primary purpose of that would be that as a part of a business, you end up having terms that are very specific to the business. For example, a business might define revenue.
Specific to your like to my business, right?
To my business. It might be like the word revenue might mean and might have a calculation that is very specific and unique.
Okay.
And you want to make sure that as your users start using the data, that they are using the right sets of values.
Okay.
So a table could contain many different pieces of information. You want to make sure that you're picking up the right sets based on that, what you want to get out of it in your calculations.
Because from an Azure Data Catalog perspective, I'm going out and I'm doing data discovery, as we learned from all different types of data sources, right?
That's correct.
So this allows me to say, if I understand correctly, I'm a business, I can say, all right, well, I have all these different data sources and I want to define terms in a glossary for my business that mean, like you said, revenue can mean this thing for me, but in your business, it might mean something a little different, right? So it allows me to define what my terms are within my business across the data sources that I have defined within my business.
That is exactly right.
Okay.
And in fact, I will take it one step further, where typical enterprises end up having more than one team that look at different things a little bit differently. For example, there might be a team that there might be a part of your organization or a particular business unit within your company that uses the month calculation to be 20 days, versus another business might actually have a slightly different understanding of what a month might be. So it might be very important and super critical for you to make sure that you're calling out when there is a month field in a particular data set that it is the one that belongs to business unit one, or does it have
so
the
I can have multiple glossaries?
You will have just one glossary, but it allows you to actually have a hierarchy of terms, which you can then create in a way that actually makes sense. So there might be a particular definition from a business unit one perspective versus a business unit two perspective.
So month could mean different, even month, you said, can mean different things within my organization. So how do we define those across? Okay, awesome, love that. Okay. Good. So how does this work? And what's the kind of the architecture around this?
So essentially, I think with respect to the data catalog, as Matthew pointed out, a couple of weeks ago, there is one data catalog for an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea or the goal that we are leading with is that helps us break down the silos within the organization.
Okay.
So despite the fact that there could be different business unit with different kinds of, you know, groups of data sources that they want to have, there is this need for users to be able to go and find all of these data sources and be able to use them.
Okay.
So that's the kind of the primary objective of the data catalog.
Right.
So the business glossary comes along and adds into that architecture, and there is just one business glossary for that catalog.
Mm-hmm.
But we do allow you to have a hierarchy of terms within the glossary that then allow you to define the terms slightly differently, maybe, if that's what your need is.
Okay.
Or, as some customers have done, you can go ahead and completely normalize your entire organization's vocabulary, as they call
Right.
And create just one set of terms.
Okay. So how do we go about setting up this glossary?
So actually, let's start off with a quick set of questions that we typically end up hearing our customers talk about, because this is the problem statement.
Yep.
And in some sense, I mean, I think we've all been using many systems where we have tagging. And while tags are awesome, there is this sense of overload that we end up having with tags. And different teams end up using the tags differently, and while the tags could mean the same revenue, like the example that we just picked, it might actually end up having very different connotations based on the context of the data.
Okay.
And then, of course, being able to communicate a consistent vocabulary across your company is a super big ask. How do, if someone is onboarding newly, how can I get that person to speak the language of what the KPIs are, and how do we actually start having the same business language?
We find that here, right? There's a whole glossary. When you join Microsoft, it'd be helpful if they handed out this sheet. Here are all the acronyms. Here's the glossary of the terms you need to know, right?
That is correct.
That would be helpful. And so that would, this is kind of what we're talking about here, right?
That is exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And I think the last kind of huge value prop is in the fact that there are always bound to be differences that you can't just normalize by using one standard glossary. And in which case you need the hierarchical system of defining that taxonomy so that you can get value out of, it could be cross-geo situations or merger of companies because they have different taxonomies. Now they've merged together into one entity, and you need to have the scenarios to support them.
Okay, so this is really designed to go, let's alleviate the issue of figuring out what this means, right? To say, you know, because we could, you know, like we could tag everything to the nth degree, right?
Yes.
That's, is there, you know, do we as an organization need to have our ducks in a row, as they say, before we even start defining the glossary?
Or I don't think that that is a necessity. So here is how I would say, recommend our customers to go about thinking about the glossary. The users of the data catalog are already consuming the data with certain references in mind, and there are some consistent verbs or terms that are actually being used.
Okay.
It would be a great idea to start documenting what those are.
Okay.
And just starting there is a great start.
Yep.
Because then what happens is that what we've done is something amazing in terms of actually being able to use these glossary terms that you're defining as tags within the data asset.
Okay.
So you get instant value as you start building up the vocabulary.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. And it doesn't have to wait for that one day when we're going to get the consolidated list.
Yeah, finally we agree on the list, right?
Yes.
We don't have to wait for that. Okay,
that
makes sense. Okay, awesome.
So let's jump right in into an experience for how the user experience in the data catalog is going to look for a customer that's just come in and signed up for the Azure Data Catalog. So here we are seeing the Azure Data Catalog page, and what you see is that the glossary is locked, and this is because the glossary is in the paid SKU for the Azure Data Catalog.
Okay.
So a customer would need to go into the subscription management and opt for the standard edition, and that allows them to actually then start using the glossary.
Okay. So it's not enabled by default, essentially.
Yes, so it's visible to you.
Yep.
You know that the capability exists, but then there is this lock on it, which you can then enable. By signing up for the paid subscription. So here we are. We have an empty business glossary. And what we will do is super quick, just so I can kind of demo the capability. What I'm going to do is create a super quick tree of terms. So there is marketing inside, underneath that there will be a child term called marketing promotions, and underneath marketing promotions we're going to quickly create existing customers and potential customers.
Okay.
The primary reason for that is because I wanted to do a quick run of what that experience looks like and where are those interesting places that we need to kind of talk through and understand.
Okay.
So here we have marketing, and what I am doing is providing a definition.
Okay.
Now this is key because when your users are consuming this term, they will actually end up seeing this definition directly in the user experience.
Okay.
So we kind of teach you as you use the glossary within the data catalog.
So they don't just see a term, they see a term and okay, this is what it means.
It means.
Yeah.
So here we can go ahead and do a create new. And we have some really interesting shortcuts because the create and new allows you to keep going and creating new terms which then start.
Okay, there's the parent term.
There is the parent term. So we just created marketing, so you can go ahead and add that in and put in a really quick definition that allows you to go ahead and create that. Now, the other thing we do allow is the ability for us to select a term and add a child. So that capability then allows you to autofill the parent term field. As you can see, marketing promotions is autofilled.
Okay.
So I can go ahead and create existing customers super quick and put that in.
Okay.
And create that child.
Okay.
Right? The key, I think, aspect of this communication of vocabulary is around the fact that these terms end up having people who are the key stakeholders for these terms and who actually kind of define and control the capability, right?
Yep.
So what you can do is, let me go ahead and finish my last one. And with that, what we will do is we will jump into a real demo tenant so that we can show you what that experience looks like. So now I've created, what I've done is I've actually created four of these terms, and you can actually go ahead and see that the
So you've essentially created a hierarchy tree of glossary terms.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to jump right into a fully defined glossary so that we can quickly take a look at that experience. So what I'm signed in here as is an admin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this distinction between an end user and an admin user. An admin user is someone who can actually create, edit, and delete and modify these terms, versus an end user can actually only just read.
Okay.
And that is a super critical capability as well, because we do want to make sure that you learn from it, right? The ability to learn from that definition.
Okay.
So here we have that glossary. There is the marketing term that we defined. And as you can see, the experience is very intuitive in the sense that you can actually go in, do a bunch of reading. You can say, oh, I see that there is marketing management, market research, and marketing promotions as children of this particular term.
Okay.
So I can go ahead and click into that. And as you can see, we're stacking it for you.
The
experience kind of starts working because now I can go into an existing customer, read about existing customers. I can go back up one level. I can go into potential customers. So this becomes kind of like a UI where I can learn for myself.
Navigate the hierarchy tree.
And navigate the hierarchy tree. So, and the same experience is present for the end user. Here is Ben, who is a data catalog user. And this experience of reading and the capability to actually view the whole thing in a stack so that you can understand the hierarchy tree is present for Ben as well.
Yep, okay.
But additionally, the use case that we really want Ben to get excited by is the one where Ben is going in there and has been working with a particular asset. He searched and found this particular asset for a customer.
Okay.
And this particular table, has a whole bunch of data for him. He knows that the columns contain the set of fields that he's really interested in. But additionally, what Ben has realized is that there is this column called customer type, and he knows that the value in that customer type is mapping to one of these marketing promotion customer types that you have identified. Are these potential customers? Are these existing customers? And so on. So the experience is actually pretty pretty neat, because what I can do is I can add a tag. This is the tag adding experience that Matthew showed you last week. Mm-hmm. So as I go in to add a tag, it actually recommends the set of glossary terms that I might have used recently. So all of my recent terms show up. But in this case, I'm not going to use the term, because I'm going to use the new one that got created called potential customers. So I go in, I start typing potential, and I see that there is a potential customers under marketing, marketing promotions, and I know that's the one. So I go ahead and I add that tag in. So what that's doing is it's actually for a user who is using this asset and stumbles upon it and is reading it. You can actually see that this is tremendous amount of value.
So this is, if I'm searching for a specific type of data, I can search on these tags.
Yes.
Right, and it'll go, oh, here's a table that has a customer type that you might be interested in searching this data.
That is correct. And additionally, you can actually go ahead and look at, just by hovering over it, it actually starts giving you a small blurb of what the exact description is, and gives you the direct capability to click on it and start opening that term. So now it becomes kind of like a learning process. So you're teaching your users to actually not just rely on tags, but also to start using them as a consistent vocabulary and consistent definition and naming.
So after a while, it's we start using the correct, like you say, the correct terms, so we're all talking, basically, essentially speaking the same
language. Right? Yes.
Now, I can also add, because it said, hey, I can add multiple tags in there, right? What's the challenge of, is there the possibility to go, so I can add one. So, you know, maybe I can add existing, existing customers, because it's going to have different customer types.
Yes.
Can, even though Ben is a read-only, he can start adding these tags to any type. How do we prevent the problem of Ben just having a heyday and just start adding all different types of tags that maybe aren't relevant to like customer type, for example?
So that's an interesting question, and I think that's a question more along the lines of how we think of the data catalog itself, and doesn't. Your question is actually generic to data catalog and not specific to glossary. What we have found in our research is that crowdsourcing tends to be where users are pretty particular about the image that they present. They don't necessarily want to go tagging random things because at the end of the day, it does show that it was tagged
by Ben.
Right. And so there is some amount of credibility that kind of goes away when you kind of mistag.
Right, okay.
So that itself, and given the fact that this is an open system where all the users in your enterprise can actually see this, the work that you have done, kind of acts as its own sort of like mini breaks.
That's true.
Where users actually tend to spend time and do something only if it is going to be valuable.
And I can see this sort of being, how do we say, this sort of self-correcting, because it sort of helps people, like the admins, start going, okay, maybe we have a too broad of a glossary, and let's narrow that down a little bit so that we don't have a an issue where we just start tagging everything and everything becomes a mess, right?
That is true.
So I think I see this as kind of self-correcting, where Ben's like, okay, well, this it does meet this, and so Ben's not just randomly throwing out tags, right?
That is true.
I think that'd be good.
And the other caveat that I do want to call out is that the capability of just user-created tags is still present.
Yep.
Like, I can go ahead and not use any of these, and I can actually create a new tag.
Okay.
And that would work as well, because this is my tag that I want to use, like the blah tag, because I am going to search with blah. Because that's my tag. Like, I'm going to put my name on it. And we do this all the time. We do this with bugs, and we do this with all kinds of tagging systems, where you go put your own tag in it so you can do a quick search query and get back those search results. That capability has been in the data catalog and will continue to be there.
But I only see, you put blah, and only you will see, or only Ben will see blah.
Not true. Because what we do allow is, because it's a crowdsourced capability, it isn't that people are going to go in and put their names on it so much, but they're going to put names like sales or retail or whatever is the terminology that actually matches that particular term. And so, yes, the tags that are put in by end users mm-hmm. are shown to all users.
Okay.
It isn't specific to Ben.
Gotcha. Okay,
and that's
okay.
because we want the glossary, sorry, apologies, we want the data catalog to be a live and kind of active thing.
Kind of growing ecosystem.
As users engage
yep.
in it. Because otherwise, what ends up happening is if only the tags by owners show up, then you're kind of limiting it to only if the owners have time to have curated stuff for that
okay.
stuff to show up,
that
and then
sense.
The value starts dropping very fast.
Okay. All right. This is awesome. So this is available today?
This is absolutely available
okay.
today.
And okay.
We would love for our customers to be using it and giving us awesome feedback.
Okay.
We're listening.
If they have feedback, what's the best way to provide that feedback?
So there are many ways to actually provide feedback, but the best one that I would recommend is the feedback, give feedback button right here.
The obvious give feedback button at the bottom
absolutely.
Of the portal.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We also have ask a question, so if you have any questions or clarifications,
okay.
that button also totally helps
okay.
Get immediate response from the team.
Perfect. Wonderful. Okay, so I think my last question would be, how do you, are people using this today, and how do you see them, you know, what's the, how is this resonating with those that are using the data catalog so far?
We do have customers using them today.
Okay.
We are onboarding a number of customers. We just had a customer call
mm-hmm.
The other day where almost 15 different customers joined the call
oh,
just
nice.
To give us feedback
okay.
and tell us how they are using the product. And it was a really awesome
okay,
experience. And they are using it how we've envisioned it.
Okay.
But obviously, as we kind of, as the feature ages, we will probably find out new ways in which our customers are using it and learn about them.
Yep.
But right. as of now, it's right on track.
And so people are excited about being able to discover new data, you know, different data types, and then, you know, obviously, you know, I don't want to say index. You know, put a glossary around those data sources.
Absolutely, because this is like I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. This happens to be one of the first steps that we are taking in the governance
yep.
field. Glossary is one of the key governance functionalities that data stewards look for.
Yep.
Because they really want to make sure that we are having the normalized language, like
right.
you said.
Yeah,
so.
Good. Yes, we need that one page that says, here's the language. We're
yes.
all using the same thing. We're all talking the same language here.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. This has been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Learned quite a bit today about the glossary. So
happy to be there.
Thank you so much. Everybody,
thank
thanks
you.
For watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.